yellow. Amen. So we're looking at, am I a student of the Word? And you know, it's a blessing that Tim shared something with me that, you know, I made a statement about devotions and studying the Bible, and Tim said, man, that really helped him. You know, these you don't, everything that I say, some of you are already doing that in your study, but if you find a little nugget or something you can plug in that helps you. And that's what I do. I'm a student of preachers. I listen to preachers all the time, and I listen to how they do it. And I got a thing called sermon audio, and I listen to preachers, and I'll back it up. And how did he do this? And because, you know, the responsibility for me is to connect with you, get out of the way so the Lord can work. Amen. And so I'm not here to impress you or shock you or anything, but I want God's the word to come through me to you, and I want to be an encouragement to you. So keep your ears open, keep your spiritual antennas up, and if you pick something up that you can plug into your study, you never know what it can do. You never know how it can change. And so I want to think about tonight, am I a student of the Word? And I want to think about this, and this may sound very elementary, but I want us to think about reading the Bible. Okay? And I'm going to be very, very, very simple and give you some things. Let me let you know that some of the material that I'm going to give you it is from some old books that I discovered that help. I want you to understand, as Christians, we can take things that are out there and use them for our betterment, right? I mean, you get financial advice from good financial advisors, amen? They may not be independent Baptists, but you use it. And so tonight I've got some, and I tend to find old books if I can, or old articles by people back in way back, because today it's always, they try to be warm and fuzzy and woke, and I just can't deal with that. And so I know you can't either. So I'm going to start out. I want to read something for you. And this is out of a book. And by the way, I'm reading this so to wake you up. But it says, this is talking about small study groups. When you get small study groups together, and this guy's telling us how to do it. As you begin each study, pray that God will help you to understand and apply the passage to your life. That's a good thought. Right? Read and reread the assigned Bible passage and familiarize yourself with what the author is saying. Now, that's a little bit skewed because it's what God is saying.
Amen.
Okay? In the case of book studies, you may want to read through the entire book prior to the first study. This will give you a helpful overview of its contents. Number three, this is a real important one. A good modern translation of the Bible, rather than the King James Version or paraphrase, will give you the most help. Okay? The New American Standard. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. Automatically, they're telling you to study that something that changes the doctrine of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, you know, and I don't ride this hobby horse. And I am not a Ruckmanite. I don't believe in double inspiration. But I believe that the Bible we have has been preserved for us supernaturally through people. And God, listen, if you read in the Old Testament, and you really focus on the Old Testament, the patriarchs, they were not real good people. If you compare the stuff they did. I mean, Solomon was supposed to be the wisest man. Wife had a life, and he had all those in the Bible, ever. And he had all them wives and all them concubines. That. To me, I question his wisdom. Okay? Amen, guys?
Amen.
I mean, what in the world? And then, you know, some of the Jacob and all these guys that God used, they were not perfect. And the women, God, they were not perfect. But let me just say something. He has given us that which is perfect.
Amen.
And when we stand up here to preach the Word of God, this changes lives. I don't change lives. This church doesn't change lives. God, the Holy Spirit, uses this book to change lives.
Amen.
And so I want to read a portion of Scripture just to get us in the understanding, thinking about reading, and we're going to come from up here, and we're going to zoom in, okay? So Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture, make some comments, and give you some statistics to make you think I know something. And then I'm going to give you some practical suggestions on reading. And we'll finish up with some scripture, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts to end. But we're thinking about reading. You're familiar with this passage, but I want to lift out some portions here. Acts 8, verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." Okay? "And he arose and went." That's pretty good. That's pretty good testimony. Amen. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure." That's a pretty good guy to know. Amen. "And had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Now notice, here's a man. He came to worship. He doesn't even know how to worship. He doesn't even know God. Now notice this. "Was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Esaias," or Isaiah the prophet. So here he is reading the Bible. Are you with me? "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man guide me?" Now, let me just say something. God sent Philip because Philip knew what that guy was reading. He knew what the eunuch was reading because he read it. He knew it. He made it part of him. You understand? It goes on there, and he desired that Philip, he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he was this. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet?" I'm going to tell you something. Can you imagine that? I mean, Philip was probably breathing heavy with excitement. Amen. Who's it talking about? Well, man, it's talking about Jesus. Amen. "And he said to him, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him," what?
Jesus.
"Preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Why? Because he got saved. Amen. Listen. We need to learn to read the scripture so we can help others that don't understand the scripture. Reading the scripture is very important. And I'm going to give you some thoughts tonight. It takes 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible, the whole Bible through it at pulpit rate. It takes 52 hours and 20 minutes to read the Old Testament. It takes 18 hours and 20 minutes to read the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Psalms is the longest read. That's 4 hours and 28 minutes. In the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke takes 2 hours and 43 minutes to read. I hear evangelists come and they say, "I read the Bible through 5 times a year." Okay, good. Okay? I mean, and I used to let that bother me. Right? When somebody, you say, "Wow." Well, so it doesn't help for me. Somebody asked me, if I'm going to talk about what I do in my devotions or this, somebody has to ask me. Say, "Well, I'm not going to sit up here. This is my 1 millionth sermon that I'm preaching. Or this is the 25th sermon I'm preaching out of this book." And what does that matter?
Exactly.
Okay? What matters is each one of you, what you get from God's word personally.
Amen.
Right? It's important that you get the word. And reading is where we fail. Speed readers that can comprehend, that's one thing. But if you're going to study the Word, be a student of the Word, you got to slow it down.
Amen.
You got to slow it down. And so I want to give you some practical helps tonight. You might want to write them down. Just some very simple things that to read the concerning reading the Bible. I'm just saying, when you sit there to read the Bible, this is the first time you open your Bible. You say, okay, I'm going to read the book of Philemon, and I'm going to read Philemon. Number one, read the Bible prayerfully. Let me ask you something. If the Holy Spirit is given to us to teach us all things, if God has told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, would it hurt us to pray?
Amen.
I mean, I read the Scripture sometimes, and I'm reading through the Scripture, and I pray before I read Scripture. I say, Holy Spirit, I have no idea. And Holy Spirit, I want you to take any ideas. I don't want to come to the Bible with what I think and try to find something to say what I want it to say. We've done that before, haven't we? We do that. Guilty, busted. Well, listen. I'll stop, because I'll get the point. It does not make sense. Now, Miss Creed is wonderful with English, and she'll come take a piece of paper and diagram a sentence for me. Say, okay. But Paul gives long sentences like they're never going to end. I'm thinking, give it a rest, Paul. Not really. He can. It's already written down. Amen. But just on and on. I mean, thinking, man, that it just went on. And I stopped and I said, Lord, I know the context, but I need to understand. I pray and I say, Lord, help me. Help me. So read the Bible prayerfully. Ask for discernment. Ask not to jump. Ask God to help you not to jump to conclusions. I mean, I went on. I got on Twitter, and some lady said the Bible says that God aborts babies. Okay. Well, you know, I couldn't resist that. And I think about 1,500 people got in on that string. And I said, back up, what scripture are you talking about? Finally, after a couple, I said, what Bible are you using? So it was the NIV. And if you read that, it's like God killed that baby. You understand what I'm saying? So we've got a world that's looking to make things okay in the Bible that are not. Okay? And we need to understand that. And we hear stuff every day. We hear junk goes in our ears, and it needs to go in one ear and out the other. But sometimes it finds place in here. If we don't watch, we'll start thinking like the world toward the Bible. That's one contention I have with a lot of people. I'm really trying to get away from the word rapture and use the phrase catching away, because it says caught up.
Amen.
Use Bible words to describe things.
Amen.
You can't go wrong. And so read it prayerfully. Pray before, pray while, and pray after you read the Bible. Okay? Now, again, read expectantly and joyfully. Okay? We went on Friday night, we got a reservation, we went to Suicide Bridge Restaurant. I mean, they got the goods. Y'all want to know what I had? You don't know what I had? I had a dinner salad. It had scallops, shrimp, and lump crab meat. Glory to God. It was good. I mean, when I go to a restaurant, I get excited. I'm excited. I'm going to get something that tastes good to eat. When Patrick and the kids, or Ben and the kids, are coming up, and they're driving up, their mom calls them two or three times to see where they are. We can't wait for them to get there. we can't wait for them to get there. And they can't wait to get there because in the couch, they go through the living room, and on the couch, there's a bag for each of them. Pam goes to Five Below and gets them a bunch of stuff, and they play with the stuff. And everything. But do you read the Bible with anticipation? You know, we can get to the place where we're not, where we're just doing it to do it. And that's not the way we should read the Bible. We should be anticipating something's going to happen. Amen? Okay, number three, meditate while you're reading. Meditate while you're reading. While you're reading, some people say, well, you know, you read and you meditate. Remember, you don't have to. You can chew it while you're reading it. Meditate on the Scripture. To meditate means to mentally chew. It think about the passage. What's this passage saying? Can I put this into practice? Do I understand this? And as you meditate, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I'll read one portion of the Bible, and it'll say something, and I'll think of a verse in the other part of the Bible. And then I'll think of another verse. Does that happen to you? So meditate on it. Chew on it. And then read the Bible. Read the Bible to be transformed. Romans chapter 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot renew your mind on your own. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? Rope. Bible. I was thinking rope. Soap on a rope. Soap on a rope. How do you cleanse your mind? How do you cleanse your life? How do you transform your mind? You can't. God has to. And He does it through the Word. Ask the Word of God to change you. When did the Word of God first change you? When you heard the gospel. You remember the first time you heard the gospel? Huh? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Jesus died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And God saved you. That He transformed you. Now it was tough. It was a tough uphill battle the first few weeks, right? And we're still battling, amen. But it's a transformation. I love to hear testimonies of people getting saved.
Amen.
I don't sensationalize it, but I've had people tell me stuff and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. They said, but God saved me. God saved me. I mean, it's incredible what God can do. And the Bible transforms. Read to be transformed. An expectation that you're going to hear from God. We speak to God through prayer. He speaks to us through the Bible. Notice again, read with perseverance. Commit yourself to be consistent in reading. Now, what you have to do, you say, well, preacher, I don't read the Bible every day. Well, commit yourself to do it for a week.
Amen.
And then commit for the next week. And then commit for the next week. I remember Miss Creed was at the range. And we were testing to get our carry permits. And she shot that gun. We're underground. She shot that gun that made a noise. She went, ooh. And the guy said, shoot one more. And she went, ooh. And he said, shoot one more. Well, after about 35 times of doing that, she got to where she needed to be. And that's how we have to do. We have to commit. We all get down to pray, sit down to pray, and read the Bible. And we think, oh, man. And we got to commit. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. Sometimes you got a burden on this shoulder, and you got a burden on this shoulder, and you got a burden on your head, and you got something looking you in the eyes. What do? You're committed. Chris, you're going to commit to Brenda in sickness and in health, for better or for worser. Till death do they part. And let me just tell you something. Marriage is not always a bowl of cherries. Right, Marissa? I don't know what she's saying to Darian. We'll find. Yeah, I have a bowl of cherries at home. Oh, what? Okay. But we've got to commit to read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. Commit to that. And then, listen, be realistic with your goals about reading the Bible and have a plan. Right? Have a plan. Make a plan. And let me just tell you something. You don't have to get a plan by anybody but you. The best plan you can have is the one you make between you and God. Right? You plan to read the Bible. As people say, well, bless God. If you don't read the Bible in the morning, then whatever. People like to read the Bible in the morning, but some other people read it at night. Some people read it at noon. Some do it at their lunch break. See? And there's all kinds of ways to do it. You can listen to it. I mean, man, it's on your, you just download a free app and you can listen to it on your phone. I mean, it's, we have everything at our fingertips to read the Bible. Now, again, let me give you this. Set aside a consistent time and place to read the Bible. Set aside, I know it may sound crazy, but set aside a place.
Amen.
Everybody in the house knows that's your place. Everybody knows that's what time you're going to read the Bible. Be quiet. Okay? You're in there to read the Bible. Set aside that and make that place the place you read the Bible. It guards you from distractions and allows you to be consistent with reading the Bible. And then get this, read the Bible with some tools beside you. Okay? A pad and a pencil. Okay? A dictionary. Not necessarily a Bible dictionary. What's that dictionary, the 18-something dictionary? What's that? 1828 dictionary. And that dictionary, so, and you can get the app on your phone, and when you call the words up, a lot of times it'll give you verses.
Yeah.
I know a lot of preachers that use Strong's Concordance, that dictionary in the Bible, and that's how they study for their messages. And you know, that's, and away they go. And they're good preachers. But have some tools. Have some tools. Treasury of Scripture Knowledge is a wonderful book to have. How many of you have Treasury of Scripture Knowledge? You have Treasury, it's great, isn't it? I mean, if you look at that, there's all kinds of verses that it cross-reference. It's a big cross-reference. And so have some tools. And then read with a pen in hand. And that goes along with the tools. Read with a pen. Now, I like to have different pens. I like to have a red, blue, black, and a highlighter. I like those. And I use the red, and I'll circle a word, and the same word is in the next verse, and I'll connect it to that verse, and then the same word, and I'll connect those underline statements and highlight certain things. All right? Read in light of the immediate context. Okay, this gets a little bit technical. Read in light of the immediate context. Okay? You have the Bible is one book. The theme is Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. Okay? Then you have different books. You have the Old Testament. You have the New Testament. You have the context. What's happening here? Learn to understand what the context is. What's going on here? And that takes a little bit of preparation and understanding. It's always good to make little charts, and they have charts out there that you can get of the dates of things that happened and what's going on. And it's interesting. I'm studying the book of Esther to preach, and that king, man. Wow. wow, that guy was something. But as you study, as I studied, I connected his dad, his father, and his grandfather, and all that. I connected, and there's some common threads in there, incredible common threads. And but the context when it gets there to the first of the book of Esther, I'm studying about the king, who he was, how he was, what he was like, because then that it opens up that whole chapter where they're carousing and all that stuff happens. And so you understand the context. A lot of people don't understand. A lot of people say, well, you know, the Bible teaches about tongues. And it told, and in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit, groanings that cannot be uttered. Well, that's not tongues. That's just the Holy Spirit. And the context, people taking things out of context. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, people talk about one baptism, and they say, oh, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's water baptism. It's talk to a local church. And that's where people get off on the universal church. There's some universal, invisible church out there. There's not. There's going to be one gathering in heaven one day. It's going to be a good one, amen? But there's not one now. There's local churches, okay? And so you take verses out of context. It's interesting. I get with preachers sometimes, and I say, let's talk about verses that people take out of context, or we've taken out of context, and we read the, and it's always fun. But read it in its context. If you don't read it in its context, you've started on a wrong path. Amen. Okay? Now, do your Bible reading and studying as part of a group. You say, what are you saying? Well, I wanted to suggest to you that you have some Bible reading buddies. Maybe get some people and say, okay, we're going to read. Let's read this book and let's compare notes. Amen? And so read. Husband and wife, read it separate, come together and talk about it. Amen? All right? And then read the Bible in light of the overarching story of the Bible. Always read the Bible in light of Jesus Christ, of Calvary, the sacrifice, of the future. Always read that. If you keep that in mind, and I'm not talking about putting a square peg in a round hole. I'm talking about keeping those thoughts in mind. How many of you have been reading the scripture and you thought, wow, that's talking about the future? Huh? Wow, that's talking about Jesus Christ. Or you start reading something, you start thinking, that sounds familiar. Right? And so those are some suggestions on reading. Listen, it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference how we read the Bible in our study. We can't study the Bible if we hurry through it. Y'all remember the buffets? Buffets, right? Golden Corral, we called it Golden Cow. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd see a buffet. Younger, I'd see a buffet. I'd say, oh my goodness. And I mean, all you can eat. I mean, fill one leg and fill another leg and then fill my stomach and just... But have you ever? When I was a kid, my dad says, "Son," I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Slow down and chew your food." He says, "You're acting like a vacuum cleaner. Afraid you're going to suck mine up." When you get something you really enjoy eating, it tastes good to chew it. You understand what I'm saying? And when we get into the Word of God, we need to take our time. Take our time. That's why a lot of times I don't preach on a whole chapter or two chapters. I stay with a paragraph or a verse, because I take a little chunk at a time, and pull out what I can. That's the way my mind works. Since reading the Bible is cross-cultural experience, we need a vehicle where we can hear what God is saying to us through those experiences, and we need the process of reading and listening to the Scripture. Read a sentence or read a phrase or read a verse and set back and let it sink in. Or let it marinate. Now, let me give you some verses and a couple thoughts and we'll be done for the night. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7. Listen to what it says. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." Now, he didn't hurry through that. You ever get on a listen to a commercial and the guy starts reading the fine print? I don't know who those people are. Nehemiah chapter 8. I love this portion of scripture. Verse 3 says, "And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, in the morning until the midday, before the men and the women, that those could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Verse 8 says, "So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading."
Amen.
That's pretty effective reading. That doesn't come from the first time you read. Verse 18 says, "Also day by day, from the first day until the last, he read the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner." They realized they weren't observing the feasts, and they got back to it. They realized they weren't doing right, so they started doing right. Verse chapter 9, verse 3, "And they stood in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, one-fourth a part of the day, and another fourth part confessed and worshiped their God." One of the primary rules for reading anything is to spot the principles, and when you're reading, to emphasize those. Okay? It's important. Nehemiah 13:1. "On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever." They were learning things. They were learning things. You spot the principles. Another rule is to spot the important words that God is using. And then pick out and interpret the important words in the book as you read. It's important. When you see words, when you see phrases, you'll see phrases like the day of Christ, the day of the Lord. Those have meanings. They have eschatological meanings, some of them. And so we need to understand. Read the book. Read the book. Am I a student of the Word? It begins with reading. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you in your Bible study. I want to challenge you to pull it back a gear. Pull over to the slow lane. And take your time this week. And really read it with focus, anticipation, prayerfully, and all the things we've said tonight, and trust God to do a great work in your heart. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. We pray that you bless our invitation time. Lord, we are so scatterbrained sometimes in reading the Bible, studying the Bible. We pray, God, that you would challenge us to be students of the Word in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to you. You want to get alone with Him tonight? Studying the Word, reading the Word. Maybe you want to get alone with God and just say, Lord, I need a plan. I can come up with a plan, but I want to partner up with you, and I want to get that plan. Amen. Amen. If you miss somebody today, morning service, evening service, give them a text. Tell them you missed them. And let's pray for folks. Pray for Brother Arnold and Wendy as they're traveling. They're going to their grandson's graduation or something. Pray for that. And let's pray for a good week. Amen. How many of you got some monumental tasks this week? Nothing? So it's going to be easy peasy? Pray for me. I got to close out a building. And the guy that I got to close out the building with, I'm trying to witness to this guy too. And he called me up. He wasn't even back here. He says, hey, I'm back in town. How you doing? So pray for me. I witnessed to him. Pray he gets saved. He's another guy I met on the job. And we're closing out a job, and then I've got to go up to Thursday. I've got to run up to New Jersey and New York to check some trees and come back the same day. So that's going to be a... Let's pray they put that fire out in Canada. Anybody seen that on the news, how bad it is or anything? I haven't looked at it. They say it's still burning. What's that? The last time I read an article said 6.7 million acres. Wow. Well, we need some rain and some wind, don't we? Amen. Amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Brother Frank, close for us.
Amen, amen.